Morning, church. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Old Testament, Book of Psalms, from Psalm 51, reading from verses 10 to 12. Psalm 51, a psalm of King David, reading from verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. The sermon title given to me is Renew Your Spirit, Pursue Purity. When we see this title, for most of us in Singapore, this is a little bit like a trigger. It sounds like a rallying cry, a command, the start of an intense to-do list. It fits very nicely into our idea of upward mobility and the need to upgrade. Whether it is a BTO in Dover or a resale flat in Toa Payoh, the mindset is the same. We walk into the space, we look at the old walls and we say, we can fix this. Change the tiles, hack the walls, make our home smart and intelligent. We believe hard work makes us masters of our environment. But this mindset is particularly dangerous as we enter into the season of Lent. Because there are many Christians that treat Lent as the ultimate renovation project, a spiritual boot camp. We look at our mess, the sin, laziness, bad habits, and then we pull out our mental clipboards and we say, for 40 days, I will fix this. I will fast. I will wake up at 5 a.m. I will instill discipline. So we treat Lent like a self-help program with a cross on top of the paper. But if Lent is just a renovation project, you will possibly fail. You will either break your fast on day 10 and drown in guilt, or worse, you will succeed for 40 days and drown in pride. So here is the hard truth. You cannot DIY, self-renovate your way to holiness. The idea of self-help, when you visit the bookshops, the most popular books are the self-help books. They tell you that you are fundamentally sound. You are just in need of a little bit of improvement here and there. But scripture tells us that we are fundamentally dead. We are in need of life. Yet, if we cannot fix ourselves, it is not all hopeless. In fact, it is one of the most hopeful news that we have. Because if the renovation is just dependent on you or me, it is finished. Susah, habis. Because you and I are human. So the message of Psalm 51 is not you are too weak to build the house. But the message is you were never meant to carry these bricks in the first place. King David wrote this psalm, Psalm 51, after his whole spiritual house collapsed. And you and I, we know the story well, perhaps too well. David was the man after God's own heart. He was the giant slayer, the model believer. If anyone had a renovated heart, so it was David. We know the story, we know the narrative. One spring, he stayed home when he should have been at war. So he saw Bathsheba, and then he took what was not his. He committed adultery. And it didn't stop there. Sin never stops like that. Because it is a living parasite. It grows. So to cover that sin up, he entered into a whole conspiracy of lies. David had her husband Uriah. one of his loyal soldiers killed in battle. He manipulated the army reports to cover his tracks. He lied to his friends. He lied to the whole nation. He betrayed God. So for months, he lived a double life. He sat on the throne, dispensed justice, while his own hands were stained with blood. He led worship while harboring murder in his heart. When the prophet Nathan walked in and exposed David, the whole illusion shattered. And then he wrote Psalm 51. You look at the header of the psalm, written when Nathan the prophet met with David. So David didn't look at his heart and see a house that needed a little bit of DIY, a fresh coat of paint, but he saw really a condemned building. The foundation was cracked. The walls were rotting with mold. The wiring was all burnt out. And then David realized a very terrifying truth, that he cannot fix this, cannot DIY on his own. He cannot think or plan his way out of this. He realized that if he pursued purity on his own, he would fail. He realized that if he tried to renew his spirit with his own willpower, he would collapse. So he cannot DIY. He is not just another contractor to renovate, but he needed a creator to remake him. You see his desperate plea in Psalm 51, and we pick it up from our reading from verse 10. David says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Create in me." Look at the first word, create. In English, we use this word very, very loosely, right? We create a PowerPoint slide. We create a spreadsheet. We create a meal. Some of us create a mess. But in the Hebrew language, it's very specific. The word David uses here is bara. And this is a very heavy, very theological word. In the entire Bible itself, bara is only used as a verb for one person, and that is God. Human beings never bara. A human can make a table out of wood, but we need the wood first, right? A human being, we can form a vase out of clay, but we need the clay first. Human beings, we take existing material, move it around, shape and form it. We are renovators. We need raw materials. But only God can bara. Bara means to create something out of nothing. Ex nihilo. It is the word used in the very first sentence of scripture. In the beginning, God created. God bara the heavens and the earth. Before that moment, there was nothing. No atoms, no light, no matter. God spoke, and it just appeared. Why does David use bara here? Why doesn't he just ask God to fix his heart? Because he knows that the materials are rotten. David looks at his own will, his own emotions, his own mind, and he possibly realized that they are all contaminated. If he tries to use his willpower to fix his sin, then he would have realized that his willpower was what led him to Bathsheba. If he tried to use his own conscience to fix his sin, then he would have also realized that this same conscience was quiet for at least 9 months while he lied. He realizes that if God uses David's old stuff, his old things, to make a new heart, the new heart will still be infected. Because you cannot create a clean house with moldy bricks. So David is saying here, God, I need you not to use the old building materials. Don't use my old willpower. It failed. Don't use my old conscience. It is broken. I need you to to start all over again. Fresh start from scratch. I need a Genesis 1 moment in my soul. I need you to, Barbara, to create something new. And this brings us to the first practical step that I call the incision. You see, many of us treat land like a renovation program or project. We start with a long to-do list of bad habits that we plan to hack away through willpower. But if you and I want the reality of Psalm 51, we must stop renovating and perhaps to start operating. Because we cannot ask God to create until we surrender and say we cannot fix it ourselves. So this Lent, instead of just giving something up, I invite us to perform deep soul surgery. Sit in silence and go deeper. Don't just pray general prayers, Lord, forgive my sins, because that is too vague. If you are going to lie on the operating table, you need to be very specific and honest. We need to tell the surgeon exactly where it hurts. When you realize that you are envious of your brother, of your colleague, don't brush it aside and say, Lord, I am just competitive. But you say, Lord, I am struggling to be happy for him. Honestly, I feel small by his success. I feel like his victory is my defeat. I'm looking at him and I see a rival instead of a brother. I realize today that I will prefer to see him fall so that I can feel safe. I need your help to love him, because right now, all I fear is being left behind. When you feel anger seething in your heart, don't brush it aside and say, Lord, I'm just tired. But say, Lord, I'm not just tired. I'm selfish. I snap because they interrupted my me time. I'm treating my family like obstacles to my comfort rather than souls entrusted to my care. I'm angry because my idol of ease was threatened. I'm protecting my own schedule more than I am loving my own children. Help me to love them more than myself. When you work and work and busy and busy and busy, don't brush it aside and say, Lord, I'm doing this for my family. Say, Lord, I'm doing this for my own ego. I am overworking because I'm terrified of being average. I'm using my career to prove that I mean something. I'm exhausted not because of the demands of the job, but because of the demands of my pride. I'm trying to earn a worth that you have already given me. So remind me today that I am a son, so that I don't be like a slave. When you are tempted, about to fall into lust, don't turn around and say, Lord, you made me like that, what? But say, Lord, I'm using people to medicate my stress. I'm turning to cheap thrills because I'm bored with spiritual things. I'm trying to steal intimacy without the cost of a relationship. I'm drinking from a broken cistern because I've forgotten that you are the fountain of living water. Restore to me the joy of your salvation so that I don't need to look for cheap substitutes. So when you and I learn to pray like this, we stop DIYing, you see. We stop being the contractor. We stop finding excuses, justifying ourselves. We stop trying to hack the walls and we become the patient. We lie down And as you and I lie down in silence, we trust that God will do His work. And this is the spiritual hard work, that we lie down and let the Lord create bara in you, a clean heart. Because there will come a point in time that you realize that you cannot DIY it yourself. You cannot. Only God can bara. Only God, our Creator God, can create something new. And our role is to be still and let Him do His work. So once the heart is created, it needs to be stabilized. So David continues in verse 10 and he says, renew a right spirit within me. The word renew here implies a fresh start. So David is tired of the cycle of sinning, of hiding, of feeling guilty. He wants to be fresh again. But notice the kind of spirit that David is asking for. The ESV translates this as a right spirit. Yet the word right doesn't say a lot, right? Doesn't say a lot. If you ask a young adult, what are you looking for? I'm waiting for the right man. Right. What right? Right, right. How do you define right? The Hebrew word itself is nakon, and it's very specific. It means to be fixed, firm, steadfast. It describes a pillar driven deep into the bedrock, like the setting of a firm foundation. Why does David pray for this? Because he knows his own spiritual volatility. And if you and I are honest, we know this too. Our emotions, our spiritual life seem to go up and down. High one day and low another. On Monday, you have a great quiet time. You feel holy. You feel love. You are on a high. On Tuesday, you snap at your children. You feel rejected. It goes down. Wednesday, you come to church. You serve in church. You feel useful. It goes up again. And then Thursday, you fall into lust. You feel so guilty. It goes crashing down. We go up, down, up, down. It is exhausting. We live our lives checking the price of our souls every hour. We try to stabilize ourselves with logic, with different self-help books, discipline. We try to DIY it, you see. We try to renovate the volatility away. So David is asking here for a little bit like a gyroscope, you know. A spirit that doesn't change with the weather. A spirit that doesn't depend on how much sleep I got last night. He says, I need something fixed and steadfast. And that is the key difference between a DIY self-renovation and God's renewal. You know, there was a time in Singapore where the weather was so cold, like these recent days, but even colder. And then the kitchen towels start popping. The towels in the house start popping. Self-renovation, self-DIY is like after your pulse, your towels pop up, and then you clear away, and then you cover over with vinyl towels. You went to buy vinyl flooring. Just lay it on top. We smile on top of that deep-seated anger. We act nice as a vinyl covering for our judgmental hearts. It will work for a short time. 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month. But because the towels underneath are still broken, still shifting, eventually, the top layer, the vinyl, also cracks. The old cracks always tear through because you never fix what was underneath. Renewal, bara, is God driving that new pile into the ground of your soul. It is giving you a stability that is not your own, a firm foundation. So we have the new materials, the new heart, the barat, past tense, barat, heart. And the new foundation, the right steadfast spirit. But a house is useless if it is empty. So David cries out in verse 11. He says, cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. This is David's fear of the empty house. Why would David write like this? Why would David fear the empty house? I think David is thinking back to King Saul. Because to understand David's terror, you have to remember that he grew up as a young boy watching King Saul. And on paper, King Saul was the perfect renovated man. He was tall, he was handsome, he was rich, he had the crown, he had the army, he had the palace. And if Saul lived in Singapore, he would have the perfect coveted corner office, the big European car, and the perfect family photo on Facebook. But scripture says in 1 Samuel 16, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And David was there to see it all happen. Remember, as a young boy, he played the harp for King Saul when the agonizing headaches came for Saul. He was there. And David watched what happened next. He saw King Saul keep the crown but lose the power. He saw King Saul keep the palace but lose his peace. He saw King Saul becoming an empty shell of a man, a hollow shell, paranoid, angry, but still doing the role as king when he no longer possessed it. He saw all of this. So the danger for us today, especially for those of us who have been long-time Christians, 10, 20, 30 years, the danger is not that God walks away from us. The danger is that we walk away from God while still pretending that we are close to God. The danger is that we walk away from God, but at the same time we continue to pretend that we are still close to Him. The danger, church, is that we become show-flat Christians. Hokwa. Highly beautiful on the outside, but spiritually dead on the inside. For you and I can have the perfect church attendance record. We can serve ministry after ministry. We can raise our hands and sing loudly in worship. We can have all the right and perfect answers to astound your cell leaders. But the occupancy is gone. The Spirit has left the building and you are just maintaining the furniture. You are running your spiritual life on muscle memory and not on the Holy Spirit. You are powering your ministry with caffeine and guilt, not with the presence of God. How do we know if we have become show-flat Christians? How do we know? You see, we are experts, very good at it, at pretending we are okay. We prop up our tired souls with the scaffolding of worldly comfort. We use noise to drown out our inner ache and pain. We use food, a lot of food, right, to numb our hearts. We call shopping retail, therapy. But this Lent, I invite you to think of fasting as a structural stress test. Let fasting kick that scaffolding away so that your soul is forced to stand on its own. You test the silence, you cut the feet. What if there's no music, no podcast, no news? If you panic, it is not because it is too quiet, but it is because that you are too scared to be alone with your own thoughts. The silence reveals that your inner peace was just distraction. It shows that without noise, your soul is empty. You test the hunger. When you miss a meal, sometimes we get hangry. But why does a little hunger make you so angry and mean? Maybe it reveals that your kindness was fragile, that we use grab food and Hai Di Lao to do the Holy Spirit's work. You were using food to calm anxiety, sugar to medicate stress. Fasting proves that we rely on comfort, not God, to hold us together. So maybe this Lent, let the hunger bite, let the silence scream, let the scaffolding topple and fall. Because only when these false supports are gone, will you finally fall onto Christ, the solid rock. Yet, here is the gospel news that saves the shore-flat Christian, at times you and I, from despair. We pray, cast me not away, and we do tremble. Why? Because we know that deep down we deserve to be cast away. We know deep down our house at times is a facade. We know that at times, many times, the occupancy is low. But we have a confidence that King David did not have. Centuries later, the true King, Jesus Christ, he hung on the cross. He screamed into the darkness, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I want us to see the exchange that Jesus was cast away so that you and I could be brought in. He was emptied of the Spirit so you and I can be filled with the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is given to you and I not because our show flat is so perfect or the renovation is so good, our DIY is a success, but it is given because the sacrifice of Jesus was sufficient. He bought our empty house so that you and I today are free. We can stop trying to stage that house with fake furniture to impress him. All we need to do is to open the door, welcome him, admit the emptiness, and let him in. So I say this, and you must hear me, that if you are in Christ, when Christ comes in, the Holy Spirit will never be taken away. Never. You may grieve him, yes, but you are never abandoned. That is the gospel. You are saved not because your renovation is perfect, but you are saved simply because when you were condemned, Jesus said, take me instead. Living this shore-flat life is very exhausting. It is, in fact, meaningless. And God loves us too much to let it continue. So at times, God intervenes. He intervenes with a severe mercy. God comes in, he visits your shofar, and he brings along a hammer, a sledgehammer. For some, two hammers. Even others, a bulldozer. And some of us, we feel this right now, that things are being stripped away, one by one. Job, security, health, a solid relationship, your sense of control. It feels like demolition, you know. It feels cruel. But consider this thought. It is a form of involuntary fasting. Involuntary fasting. Usually, we choose the fast, correct? Season of Lent come, you choose the fast, like some menu like that. I will go for Daniel fast. I will go for intermittent fasting. I will do this fast, that fast, 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 fast. We choose the fast, usually. But I say to us, sometimes, God chooses the fast for us. He strips away the scaffolding that you have, that you lean on. And he forces you and I to look at our true foundation. He takes away that which is so comforting that we so rely on. And that suddenly reveals who we trust. You discover your peace was not built on the solid rock, but it was built on shifting sand, your bank account. your reputation or your family stability. So God hacks away the wall so you have nowhere to hide. He brings you to the rubble so you can finally sit in surrender and say, God, I cannot DIY anymore. I cannot renovate this myself. You must bara, create something new. It is terrifying, scary. But the rubble is where the real rescue begins. And when God pulls us up from the rubble, He doesn't just leave us safe, you know, but He makes us glad. You look at verse 12 of our text. David continues, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Joy of your salvation. And uphold me with a willing heart. David prays, restore to me the joy of your salvation. So the goal of this surgery isn't just to make you moral, make you a good boy. Not like that. But it is to make you joyful. Make you joyful. Because a self-renovated life, a DIY life, is not just exhausting, but it is hollow. For you can spend all your life accumulating props to stage the house. We chase the promotion, the bigger car, the smoother reputation, hoping one by one of these things will smoothen away the cracks, distract people. But deep down, deep down, you know that it is just clutter, meaningless decoration. You are merely rearranging the beautiful furniture, but the whole building is condemned. You look at King Saul, he had everything. David had the palace, the power, the wealth. But without that clean heart, it was all just empty. But a created life, a life built by God, brings true joy because it deals with substance, not surface things. And this joy doesn't come from acquiring more and more things to make you feel valuable, but it comes from the relief of realizing that you don't need the props anymore. You don't need the accolades to prove that you matter. You don't need the perfect image to prove that you are good. You can let the expensive facade fall because the foundation is solid. It is the joy of finally having a soul that is worth more than the props and the things surrounding it. This, Jesus says, is a joy that the world cannot give. A joy that the world cannot give. You say, Pastor, Chinese New Year, don't preach like that lah. And I believe that's why David continues, uphold me with a willing spirit. A willing spirit. Are you willing? I don't mean, are you willing to work harder? Because that is just more DIY, more self-renovation. I mean, are you willing to be the patient? Are you willing to admit that your real power has failed? Are you willing to pass the scalpel, the knife, the hammer to the Lord? We love to hold the hammer because it makes us feel in control of things. To let go and hand it to the Lord is very dangerous, you know. What will our Lord smash or take away? But a willing spirit stops saying, I will fix this. But it starts saying, Lord, I surrender and I am yours. You, only you can bara. Only you can create something new. And this is the only spirit that can hold you and I up when we are weak. So in this season of Lent, I invite you to actively surrender. Are you willing to be vulnerable, to open yourself fully to the Lord? And I invite you to consider three things from what I've said so far that we can do in this season of Lent. And I call it the three pre-op procedures as we prepare to lay flat and let the Lord perform surgery. The first is empty resolution. Stop trying to fix your main sin. We love Lent resolutions, you know. I will stop yelling, I will be less jealous, I'll be less angry. So these are many times renovation projects that is centered on your willpower. And possibly they will fail by week two. Maybe your action this season of Lent is to identify one area of sin that you are so most exhausted from fighting. And then stop trying to fix it yourself. Stop trying to apply fresh coat of paint to a condemned wall. Or putting koyo, new flooring, over cracked tiles. Instead, when you feel in that area this week, sit in the wreckage of things. Don't need to promise God that you will do better next time. But instead, you admit. Say, God, this part of my heart is beyond repair. I cannot renovate it. I cannot DIY it. You have to create something new. That posture, that admission of defeat, is the first step of victory. Second, practice ruthless real-time honesty. We saw those diagnostic slides earlier, the difference between the surface excuse, I'm just tired, and the root sin, I'm selfish. So our application is to take that diagnostic tool into our whole week or the whole Lenten season. Don't just agree with it, oh yeah, it's a good thought. But when the anger rises on Tuesday afternoon, stop and do the soul surgery right there. Don't allow yourself the surface excuse, but force yourself to pray the honest prayer. Lord, I'm angry right now, not because they are annoying, but because I am worshipping my own comfort. And that level of ruthless honesty is the operating table where God really does His best work, you see. It's that posture of surrenderedness. Third, reframe your fasting as a structural stress test. A moment ago, we talked about the severe mercy of God stripping away our comforts, the scaffolding, and involuntary fasting to reveal whom we really trust. Voluntary fasting during Lent is how we invite that same process on purpose. In a sense, it is a little bit like controlled demolition, if you will. So this Lent, do not fast to prove to God how strong, how capable, how disciplined you are, but fast to prove how weak, how dependent we are. You are voluntarily stripping away a prop, be it a food, social media, Netflix, to see if your spiritual building can stand without it. When you skip a meal and find yourself getting angry and snapping at people, don't just suppress that anger, but pay attention to it, because that anger is the point of the fast. It is revealing a crack in our foundation. It is showing that patience, that kindness, is not based on the Holy Spirit, but based on a full and happy stomach or a numb mind. So let the fast strip away the facade so that you and I can finally have something real to confess to God. Our sermon this morning on this first Sunday in Lent is renew your spirit, pursue purity. But I pray by now that you see this is not a command for you to go home and try harder. It is an invitation instead to stop trying to be your own savior. Well, we cannot. And I want you to see and feel the relief of things. You imagine a drowning swimmer. The moment he realizes, I can't make it, he stops thrashing. And then his body starts relaxing, he goes limp. And that is the exact moment that the lifeguard can save him. But remember, the rescue isn't free. The lifeguard didn't just reach out a hand, but he dove into the water. He took the drowning upon himself. Jesus didn't just renovate your house, my house, but he paid for it with his blood. Our failure, your failure, my failure to renovate, to DIY is not the end, but it is the start of his rescue. For it will take us a while to realize that we cannot borrow a new heart ourselves, much as we try. But you can receive it from the one who died to give it to you. So today on this first Sunday of Lent, I invite you to pray just these three verses in your hearts with me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. So Father, we come to you on this first Sunday of Lent, inviting you to perform that soul deep surgery in our hearts. Replace that heart with a new one. Give us that steadiness that David longed for. Help us not to spend our whole lives creating, perfecting that show flat. But teach us, Lord, to dig deeper and go deeper in you. Restore to us the joy, the simple joy of knowing that we have eternity, that you saved us. And let that joy be bigger than anything that this world can ever give. So that it is you that we pursue all the days of our lives and none other. A willing heart is what we seek today. That your joy, that knowing you is so much more precious than anything else we can ever hanker or long after. Meet with us on this first Sunday of Lent and help us, Lord, as we press onwards for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We stand together in the song of response, making a prayer to our God.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Thank you.
Ask me all away from thy presence, oh God. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
Rest in
me, that you are thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within. And renew a right spirit within.